The third meeting of the Committee on State Government Finance and Veterans Affairs will come to order. Welcome to all that are here. The first item on the agenda today is a couple additional volunteers to address themselves. Auditor Otto, I understand you have a time crunch, so welcome to the committee, and we're not going into your budget today. We're just having introductions.
Great. Madam Chair and members, I'm Rebecca Otto, the State Auditor. I will be in front of your committee as I come and ask for our appropriation. Look forward to working with all of you. I want to congratulate all of you on your successful elections. And did you want me to share that photo, Madam Chair?
Oh, yes.
How do I do that?
Mr. Nash?
Now I have three photos. I had a very difficult time choosing.
Well, you can show all three of them. We're not that.
Oh, can you see?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's me riding a horse. So I live on a small farm. I don't remember where that was. I think I won.
It was a contest?
Oh, yeah, I used to show. So I used to show my mare. She's a Pasofino. And she's a beautiful horse, and I still have her. She's getting older. Now, okay, so passion. The horses are my passion. You can't really tell, but I'm jumping off of a rock in the Boundary Waters. I'm the one that is wearing the boots and the clothes. So I'm all about safety. I have my boots on to protect my feet. My life has to keep me afloat, and I was washing my clothes, actually. So, and that's it. Those are my photos. So something personal about me, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
May you have a good year. Pahua Yang Hoffman.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bill Straczynski. I introduced myself last week with public television, but Pahua Yang Hoffman works at TPT and works with the Minnesota Public Television Association and all of the other stations. You imagine the wheel of a car, and that wheel that on the car helps you go forward and everything else, and you look right down to the center, and that little nut that holds that wheel on, that's Pahua. She's the one that keeps everything together for all of us in public television.
Great. Welcome to the committee, Pahua.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members.
Ms. Hoffman, Ms. Hoffman.
Do I get to share my photo?
You sure do, Mr. Nash.
Oh. All right.
There.
So I was born in Laos in 1974, and there are very few pictures of me as a baby. That's me right there. And that's my mom, and these are my grandparents, and these are my cousins. So I just have this one, and I wanted to share it with you. And just, I think to know where someone's from tells a lot about who they are, and I just wanted to share this picture with you, and I look forward to working with you and the committee members this year.
That is just wonderful. And then when did you come from Laos to here, to Minnesota? Did you come directly or did you have stops?
I had stops along the way. We were sponsored by a family in Columbus, Ohio. That's where I lived for several years until I was 6 years old. And I've been in Minnesota since 1986. That's where I went to finish elementary school, high school. I attended college here and graduate studies.
Okay. And isn't TPT fortunate to have you putting everything together?
Bill makes me do all of his hard work.
You know, I believe that.
But he gives me credit, too. I will say that.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mr. Hubinger. Mr. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. I've been reluctant to come because I'm really tardy on this homework assignment. I actually brought this photo 4 years ago when you were chair of Legacy and never quite got introduced or testified until later in the process, and so I never showed this picture. I don't know how to scale it. This is a creek that runs through the woods on my grandparents' farm in Gray Eagle, Minnesota, in Todd County. It's a favorite place for my family, my grandparents, and my parents to wander around. My father especially liked to go in there in the woods in the fall for squirrel hunting. I think he may have been squirrel hunting when this photo was taken about 10 years ago. I was bringing my camera. You have to eat what you shoot, and I don't eat squirrel. So that's my personal photo. I should say something. I didn't bring a picture. My spouse and I have three sons. I have my son Josh is a budget analyst at the Department of Transportation. My second son, Nate, is a grants manager for a small nonprofit, Mano a Mano, that builds and supports medical clinics in Bolivia. And my third son is a freshman at the university, or I guess the University of Minnesota now. And that's my story.
And your role here as director?
Oh, I thought we weren't supposed to talk about work.
Well, you can announce what you do, so we've got you in the right slot.
I work with the Legislative Coordinating Commission, and in that capacity, our office has the privilege of working with staff and the other joint legislative offices to support the work of the House and the Senate. You'll be hearing more from us when we do overviews or present our budget requests.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
The other people from the audience that have not complied with the first request of for first introduction will have the opportunity, if we ever get to talking about your portion of the budget, and I'm sure we will at some point in time. Okay, well, I guess we don't want to wait. Please.
Oh, do you want us to wait?
Please, you're here.
Well, sorry, Madam Chair, I thought you were looking for more people to come down. So,
fine.
I'm happy to be here. I missed the first two meetings. My name is Dennis Munkwitz, and I work at Minnesota Management and Budget as the CFO. And I will be here in a lot of these meetings with colleagues from MMB as we prepare or present our budget in the future. I brought a picture of my dad. I guess I can't get the whole thing there, but my dad is 86 years young. He is the proud commander of his American Legion post in Glenwood City, Wisconsin. It's about an hour away from here. And he's been active in that since he moved to this town about 6 years ago. He's a World War II vet.
And he's still commander at age 86?
Yep, it's a very small post. But yes, he's still the commander.
Oh my gosh. Do they have a building?
They do have a build, or no, they meet at the senior center, and they do a lot of activities, all the parades, all the major events in the town, and he can walk in some of those. Some of those are too long for him, and he doesn't participate in all the marches anymore, but he's very active at 86 and just is on the go all the time.
What a wonderful example.
Absolutely.
And a good pick for a picture.
Thank you.
Representative
Detmer. Yeah, Madam Chair, 86. So he was a pretty young troop during the Second World War then. So
yes, he I think was drafted at 18, and yep, he was on the younger end of it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and look forward to working with you all.
Mr. Kelleher, are you back? Welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm David Kelleher from the Minnesota Historical Society. We're looking forward to the committee's activities and looking forward to having an opportunity to present our budget request and We once again would invite you to come over to the History Center for a behind-the-scenes tour to see the work that we do and meet some of our staff in person, the folks who do the work over at the History Center. And if any of you have questions about the work that we do, I will be around the Capitol quite a bit, and feel free to flag me down and ask about something that we can help you with for our activities. The picture that I brought, and I think I need to zoom out a little bit here. Go ahead. This is a little grainy, but there we go. This is a picture of my kids from a few years ago, and this is one of those, it's become family lore. You remember that time that Dad dragged us around to see all those state capitals? I think on one road trip we went to about 7 state capitals, and by Oklahoma, Franny, our daughter, who is right here, resisted any more pictures in front of state capitals. Just said, no, we're not doing that anymore. This is Wyoming later on in the trip, where she got a second win for indulging Dad in taking pictures in front of capitals. What this picture symbolizes to me is traveling with my kids and having them explore new areas. And state capitals symbolize history, which I love, and the workings of government and architecture. And I think something rubbed off, because this guy's a freshman at the University of Minnesota, and he's possibly going to be a political science major. So something happened there. So, so thanks for the opportunity.
Patrick
to share this.
Is a freshman?
Yep.
Gosh.
So.
Fantastic.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Anna Marie Hill Kleinhans, and I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. And I apologize, I didn't see your first assignment. I did see your second one. We're preparing that right now with your list of questions due today. And I also didn't bring a picture, but I thought I'd tell you. I am a member of the Red Lake Band of Chippewa Indians, and so I'm a bona fide card carrier American Indian person, and this is what they look like, and my legislative more to show you. My legislative director, if you could stand up, she is a member of Prairie Band Potawatomi, and that's what they look like in Kansas, and she's transported here to Minnesota. And also, I just want to point out, Sandy Glass Cierney is a member of White Earth, and I've been working with Sandy for years at the revisor's office, and she's been a lot of help. So we are around. We look forward to working with you in the committee, and look forward to another good year, a successful year. So thank you.
Good. You're going forward.
Yes. Thank you.
That's wonderful to hear.
Any questions?
Thank you so much. Mr. Garcia.
Hello, Madam Chair. How are you?
Just fine.
Members of the committee, I'm Hector Garcia. I'm the Executive Director of the Chicano Latino First Council of Minnesota. And I'm an immigrant from Mexico. I grew up in Mexico City, attended the Technological Institute of Mexico, and worked for the Economist Intelligence Unit, which is part of the magazine's financial group. Before moving to Minnesota in 1973, I married a Minnesotan. We have a son who lives in New Orleans, and he owns a real estate development firm. Have 2 grandchildren, 3 and 6. I have worked in the private sector, in the nonprofit sector. I've been an entrepreneur. So now I'm working for the state, and I'm hoping to make a contribution to alleviate some of the difficulties that our community experiences, as well as make a contribution to the state of Minnesota. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
We didn't build in time for questions so much today, but we do welcome your participation. And 3 years have you been?
3.5 years.
3.5 years,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you two are moving forward with new goals? And
Yes, definitely. Our main focus is education. As you all know, Minnesota is dead last in the Latino achievement gap, as well as in Latino graduation rates in the whole country. And for that reason, we've been dedicating ourselves to finding a new type of solution, because obviously the other ones weren't working. So we're hoping that we will be able to share some of those ideas with this and other committees. I think we can do some alchemy here and turn a negative into a positive. I'm convinced that our community can be a very significant asset, and there's no choice, because we're the fastest growing minority, and if it continues going in the direction that it's going, it's going to be bad for the whole state. So hopefully we'll be able to discuss with all of you some solutions. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you very much. Anyone else at the last? Okay. Anyone that hasn't wanted to report? Mr. Fallon, Humanity Center. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I apologize for not bringing a picture. I'm David O'Fallon. I'm the president of the Minnesota Humanities Center. And if you'd give me 2 seconds, I'll paint a word picture for you, if I may.
You may.
I would like you to imagine a gas station in 1948 with the pumps out front, the gravel driveway, one-story station, Sinclair on the sign.
With the green...
They didn't even
dinosaur?
Have the... Yeah, the dinosaur came a little bit later. Exactly. Office in the front, grease bay to one side, outdoor grease bay, one bay over, 3 bedrooms in the back, a living room with an oil stove in it, and that's where 3 brothers, a daughter, and mom and dad started their business. That's in Litchfield, Minnesota. So that's home base. So my dad ended up with 6 gas stations and a wholesale oil business. And that spirit of innovation and entrepreneurship and bottom-up growth is the spirit I bring to the Humanities Center and meeting real needs with what we do. And I think we're doing it, and I know we'll have a chance to talk more about that, Madam Chair and members. So thanks for allowing me to do a word picture. I can almost smell the oil on a July day from that gravel driveway, which I raked a few dozen times, I might add. So,
well, thank you so much. One of my best friends from college, who is still my best friend today, her dad had a Sinclair station very similar to that.
Wonderful memory.
It is.
And I'd like to acknowledge our 2 partners. We work very closely with the Indian Affairs Council and with Anna Marie and Joe Lynn and with Hecker at the Chicano Latino Affairs Council on some of the great efforts of cooperative issues. We've made some real progress there.
That's wonderful. Representative Detmer has a question.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Could you share with us maybe, now this was a full-service station, I assume, and what was the price of gas back then?
You know, I can remember gas wars where the difference was between $26.9 a gallon, and right across the street there was another station, and if they went down to $26.8, we'd go out and change the signs. So that was, you know, 25, 26, 27 cents a gallon. Yep.
Just by looking, you knew the price had gone down, so you have to change it.
We did.
Collusion. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Ms. Haas.
It's House.
Ms. House. You've been so patient.
All right. Hi, I'm Brynn House. I'm DFL research, the caucus researcher.
So I have two pictures. This is me and my fiance Jason and our dog camping at Madeline Island last summer. So that's what we like to do. And then this is for you, Chairwoman Murphy. This is, okay, how do I zoom in? This is, I'm missing it. That might be about as close. Okay, so that is a picture. It's a little embarrassing, but that's me when I was maybe about like 9 or 10, and your former CLA, Charlotte, when she was probably about 8 or 9. So we've been friends since we were little, and we still get to work together, which is fun, but I thought you'd like to see that.
Oh, that's just great.
And I'm still tall, and she's still short, so.
Oh. That is just darling. I didn't know that you went back that far.
Our moms grew up together, actually, so we've known each other our whole lives.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thank you so
much.
Miss Melander.
I'm Lily Melander. I'm the CLA for this committee. Before this, I went to Iowa State University, majored in history, focusing on U.S. history, military history. I'm from Matamida. I was lucky enough to grow up on Wiper Lake in a house my dad built, and I sadly still live there right now. And I brought a picture. I don't know how you zoom out. Yeah. Oh. I love being on the water, and almost as much as I love my dog, and if I probably could have brought her in, I would have. She's a golden doodle, and she's 6. But the photo I brought in to show you all, it's a copy of one of my favorite photos. I had it hanging on my wall at school, and I have it by my desk. And it's of my brother, Andrew. It's kind of hard to see. He's the captain of the Marines, and I think this was on his 3rd tour of duty in Iraq. And it just kind of reminds me of like what his hard work and dedication looks like. And he's just a really big influence in my life. And I thought it was fitting for this committee. So that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Ms. Conley.
So, I am Nancy Conley, the committee administrator for this committee, as well as the Ways and Means Committee, and I've worked at the legislature for 26 years, and so what I value and what's important to me, I'll start with the people in my life, my husband, Bill. We've been married for over 25 years, and he's the person that's most important to me, and we have one other family member. Big Frank is a cat that adopted us at our cabin, and this is our cabin, and we spend quite a bit of time at the cabin. Bill and I, the shell was built for us, but with my family, we completed the inside. And I guess I was remiss in saying that the other important people in my life, I'm still blessed to have both of my folks. I have a brother and sister and 5 nieces and nephews. So they're the important people. The things that I like to do, Bill and I like to travel. This was me in one of my former homes when I was, my former life as a troll. This was the Redwood Forest. That was a fun trip. Another thing I like to do is golf. Although you can see here, I'm not a very good golfer. I end up in a lot of very difficult situations and places that I probably shouldn't be. And then as I have grown older, I've somehow been hit with the bug of being more adventurous in what I do. And so this is me and my niece doing the polar plunge. So if anybody has any fun, weird adventures that you need a partner in, let me know and I might be up for it. So thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Miss Stover?
Thank you. Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Liz. I'm with the House Information Services Department. I recently moved here from Chicago just this past month for this job, and this is a picture of me at the 2008 Obama's presidential rally when he was elected and became president. I was covering it for my college newspaper, Northern Illinois University. So before this position, I was a reporter, and I worked at a weekly community paper in St. Charles, Illinois, which is just an hour outside of Chicago.
Wonder. Thank you very much. Ms. Roberts.
So I'm Helen Roberts. I'm the nonpartisan fiscal analyst for this committee. I've worked for the legislature for 17 sessions now. This is my 17th session, and I was just thinking, my first chair of this committee was Tom Rukavina, and right after that was Phil Krenke. So that gives you a sense of how much variety this committee can have in all sorts of ways. And I should say, I grew up in lovely New Hope, Minnesota, where my father still lives. And these are the two of the most important people to me, my niece and nephew, Christopher and Ellie, who are about to turn 7 and 9 next month, and I am the babysitter of first request, and I get to spend a lot of time in the summer with them, so they're very important to me.
And are they having an adventure, or are they performing magic, or well, Halloween, or?
I think probably at that age everything is an adventure, but they were at a party, actually, for their doctor was leaving the community. They live in Victoria, Minnesota, and they had one of these photo booths, and I thought it was pretty typical. My nephew basically took everything and put it on, and then Ellie kind of got the big glasses, so.
It looks like they had a good time.
Yeah, they have a good time.
Yeah. Wonderful. Mr. Shepherd.
Madam Chair, members, I'm Mark Shepherd from the House Research Department. I work with this committee and with the Government Operations Committee as my primary assignments. I live in St. Paul, and I have three children who are in their 20s now. And today I was fully planning to bring a photo of my newborn first grandchild, but it turns out I don't have one quite yet. So I seem a little anxious about this. My daughter is 10 days overdue now.
Oh.
And this weekend I was feeling a bit of anxiety about this, so I borrowed this youngster.
Oh.
And got to babysit him for a while just to keep up my grandparent certification. And you can see I'm taking the opportunity to teach him a little bit about baseball. I'm a big baseball fan. He's trying on his first baseball mitt on his left hand there, and I was trying to give him a few pointers. So I hope maybe by the next time the committee meets, I may have a photo of a younger child to share with you.
Well, we would welcome the opportunity to see it. And if you go dashing out of the room, you're excused. Mr. Marvel.
Pardon me? Continue with the baseball theme. I'm Joe Marble. This is my 7th legislative session working for the House, but covered GovOps and elections and other committees. But this State Gov I did the last 2 years where I was the committee administrator. Look forward to working with you all this year. Let's see, is this going to... This is a I grew up in a family of 14 kids, by the way, so we have two girls now, though, but my dad remarried after my mom died when I was 12. My dad remarried a woman with 9 kids, and so I grew up in South Minneapolis, and my first job was at Met Stadium as a vendor when I was 14 years old. So kind of grew up with the Twins. In 1997, when they were threatened, when they were trying to get a ballpark, which I'm sure the chair was there voting on it, I was started a fan group back then and tried to garner as much free media as I could and wreak as much havoc as I could, and I guess I did good enough to garner a job here. But this is one of my prized photos. It's a Harmon Killebrew, who's one of my favorite Twins, and he signed it. And my two daughters, Kelly and Elissa. And this is a more recent picture. I coached them in the summer. I've coached them in the past. This one here, she's a pitcher and fast pitch softball. And it's kind of fun getting to spend time with them, and they both do synchronized swimming. They're both very good. The older one is a senior in high school, so we're kind of touring colleges now and going through that now. So that's it.
You all have the same smile. A happy, good, strong Minnesota smile. That other shot with Harmon Killebrew, you probably could go on Antique Roadshow with that.
Oh, and I brought my George Bush along because I do like politics, too. And this is my Michael Tidyer, who sits in my office as well. So. So, and then sometimes they even say no. So.
Oh, no! Thank you so much. Mr. Nash.
My name's, Madam Chair, my name's Ryan Nash and members. The photo I brought today, first off, on the page, so, for this committee and environmental policy. And the picture I brought today is it was our Christmas photo from last year, and I have an older brother and a younger sister. And my older brother is studying to be an occupational therapist, and then my sister is a D1 college soccer player for University of Louisville. And we took this at Irvine Park in St. Paul. And those are my two dogs. The older one right here is Scout. She's 15 years old, and she's a border collie. She's almost due for her, like, death is right at her door. And then the younger one is Apollo, and he's not really the smartest, but, you know, we still love him anyways.
But very loving?
Yes. Yes, very. And that's it.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
I spoke with Commissioner Parnell the other day. She said, you know, someday there ought to be a take your dog to work day. And now that I've seen your pictures, and I saw the picture of Sage and your lap dog, Lily, your lap dog, my gosh, maybe we should have a take your dog to work day. I'll see what Mr. Charbonneau thinks about it. Be interested. Anyone else?
Madam Chair, members, I'm Catherine Barondo. I'm a budget officer with MMB for several of the state government agencies. I've been with MMB about 4 years. Am interested in state government, spent several years in state government in another state. I actually worked for several years for the nonpartisan House staff there, and I worked for the Supreme Court as well as the Secretary of State's office. Department of Labor. I couldn't keep a job, apparently. I did when I changed jobs progress, Madam Chair.
Wonderful.
Yes. Let's see. That's as far as it'll go. Let's see. Oops, that's not good. Well, I don't know if you can see here, Madam Chair, but this is my daughter, Maddie. She's 12. When you chaired the Legacy Committee, she appeared before the committee and answered some questions for you one time.
I remember that.
She is there practicing her shooting after taking her gun safety course and passing in rural Becker County, Minnesota, which is where I'm from and where my dad still lives. And then I have another little picture. I live with her and my husband. And I have an older daughter. Let's see. Oops. We'll see if you can see this. Oh. So those are my two grandchildren. The older cheerleader is 4, and the youngest one just turned 1 and learned how to walk. My connection to the vet side of this committee is that their father is a captain with the 82nd Airborne in Fort Bragg. And then my father is a Korean War veteran who still resides in Becker County and still actively goes to, at age 80, to all of his reunions. So,
and he loves it.
He does, Madam Chair.
What a wonderful, I guess maybe those devices aren't so terrible when you can see the little kids like that walking across the floor. Like,
Madam Chair, when they live halfway across the country and you don't get to see them very often, it is a nice device.
Yeah. And you have a ways to go with that new baby, Mr. Shepherd. She started running. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Micah Intermill. I'm Catherine's other half on the state government team over at MMB. I'm also an executive budget officer. And I also handle the agriculture portfolio as well. So any of those serving on the ag division, you'll see me there too. I am new to
environment.
What's it? Ag and environment. Yep. Yeah. I'm new to MMB, started in October. Prior to that, I was at the Humphrey School. And before moving to Minnesota, I had spent time both in Washington, D.C., lobbying for the assisted living industry, and in my native Nebraska, where I worked for U.S. Senator Ben Nelson, doing scheduling and constituent services for him. What brought me to the state of Minnesota was the knowledge that I would soon, hopefully, have a niece or nephew, and my sister and brother-in-law delivered on that. Who you see here are my significant other, Zoe, and my niece, Charlotte Joy. So she joined us in March, and she's just about to turn, I guess, turned 10 months old a couple days ago. So this was over the summer. And in Zoe's hand, you see a nice craft brew. We were at the New Belgium Brewery in Fort Collins, and homebrew is a new hobby of mine. So I thought that this represented some of those interests very well.
What? Good, good. So the homebrew is a new hobby of yours in preparing homebrew?
It is, yep, and then, absolutely.
And then sampling.
Well, sure. It's a quality control proposition.
I understand that. Now, tell me, you're from Nebraska.
Born in Topeka, Kansas, and raised in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay. Do you know Phil Chen?
I know Phil Chen well. We actually went to high school together.
Oh. wonderful. He used to work for my committee.
Madam Chair, we, as Nebraskans, we often fight the notion that it's such a small place that we all know each other, but it really turns out to be pretty true.
And at the Humphrey Institute, did you, were you employed by the Humphrey Institute, or were you going to school there?
Madam Chair, I both went to school and was employed there. I was a research assistant in the Public and Nonprofit Leadership Center, working on a project to modernize the method in which we deliver public affairs education, so transforming the case study experience and bringing that online in an open source manner so that kind of all of the best of practical knowledge was shared within the academy and lessons from the academy also with the world of practice.
And from there then directly to the MMB?
Absolutely.
Very good. Very good. Yes. Representative Kreshaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a fellow Nebraskan, I'm sorry, I did not run into you at any family functions.
Well, now you've had the opportunity to meet, so maybe...
Yes, Madam Chair, now I know everybody. I knew there was one I was missing, and here we are.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. One more volunteer. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Paul Mandel. I've already come before the group with the Capital Area Planning Board, but I couldn't help since you're doing show and tell. This is my newest, my first grandson is born the night of your last meeting. I wanted to make Mark, we consulted each other. We were both sharing the same birth year, and we're both sharing our first grandson. So. This David Isaac was born last Wednesday. This is 2 hours after he was born. This is a newborn. 10 pounds, 13 ounces.
Oh.
So thank you for indulging me.
Oh, thank you.
I just happen to have a
picture. Most grandparents do. Many. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. We appreciate it. Those of you that have not yet accepted the opportunity, as I said before, we'll get the opportunity when you come before the committee for some other purpose at a later date. Did I miss any step? No. Guess not. Okay. So, the next thing on the agenda is the discussion of expectations. And some people seem to not know quite what to expect. On the first day, if you remember, I said that I wanted to build. I wanted to build an atmosphere that of cooperation and trust that can develop a bill that comes out of this committee fulfilling our expectations and goals and hopes. And maybe even the process can develop communication enough so that we can offer suggestions for other committees, finance committees, and to improve the budget that we, the House of Representatives, eventually confers with the Senate and the governor on. That we'd not just be concerned about our silos that have been assigned to this committee, the various accounts that have been assigned to this committee, because the possibility exists that by the time the conference committee comes, there might be a couple other accounts mixed in with ours, or we may have lost a couple. But we certainly don't want to give any of our accounts or agencies short shrift. And one of the building blocks to this was our request for information that went out on the listserv and was in our packets the last time, in which there were 11 questions in which we were asking for our agencies and people that are here as followers of what we might do. We asked for completion. And we've gotten a very good response. And the day is not done. And maybe if they're not finished today, they will be forwarded tomorrow or the next day. But the information is going to be ours to use and help us build and develop a finance bill that we have, hopefully have consensus on, and hopefully can help the agency or the account to do the major part of what their hopes and outcomes are, staying true to their mission, staying true to the outcomes that they expect. I don't have a lot of specifics at this time because I started with just a bulldozer, but not a very big bulldozer. And we don't quite have the earth turned over yet. But we're making good progress. As was evident by the numbers of people that heard their names get called or their agency get called the last time. And today they're here. Because we're going to start the dialogue on what your expectations are. Representative Simon.
So I have a question for you, Madam Chair, because you are one of the most senior members in the House and you remember the institutional history. So I think the last time that, let's leave the Senate aside for a second, the last time that the House and the Governor's Party matched was 05-06. When it was Republican control and Governor Pawlenty. It was the one term that I wasn't on this committee. That was my first term. I'm wondering whether you are going to start, or you anticipate starting, with the target of this committee being just basically the governor's projected or recommended spending for all the accounts in this committee all added up. Is that going to be our target? And even within that, will we start from a place, at least a starting point, maybe not an ending point, will we start as a starting point with each individual account, what the governor has recommended? It's kind of a foreign thing to me, both when this chamber has been controlled by Democrats and Republicans, it's, except for that one instance since I've been here, always been the opposite party, where there is no presumption that you begin with what the governor's recommended, because the two parties were sometimes at odds. Can you speak to that? Do you know, or have you maybe not decided yet?
I have not conferred with Ms. Roberts yet about where we are, the analysis of what the governor's recommending. But before that happens, I think I want to know what the requests a little more about what the requests of the governor were and what, like, the questions on the on the sheet, that on the request for information today. One of the things is, one is, what do you expect to change if your agency requests are approved? But I think we also have to know what happens to the agency if the requests weren't approved. What effect on the citizens of the state is approval or not approval going to have? Number two, what's happened in the past when we haven't had the House, the Senate, the governor all together? We've had a budget deficit. What's happened to this agency? What's happened to the citizens as a result of not having enough money to cover their expectations? I think we've got to talk about that first so that we can understand the importance of the proposals or how following the framework and the amounts of money, where we could tweak or change to help the expectation of one agency realize their success because another agency is doing just fine as they're going along. I'm not sure, Representative Simon, but I want to have a little more background and I want to have a little more understanding of the whole. And if you have suggestions that are different than what I'm presenting, my door is open for instructions on how to go a different path. But I don't want to just start with how, since I've been here in whatever committee, finance committee we've been, we just start and people come up and say hello and this is what we want, and on the last week before deadlines in March, then the chair rolls out, this is what I heard and this is what we should do, and everybody say, oh yeah, this is a good idea. I want more input than, oh, how did you put this together in just 3 days? I want more understanding of how we're building together. I don't know if it's possible, but I'm willing to take the risk. And I hope everybody here is willing to participate in the journey along the way. Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. No, we have the governor's budget now, and will every bill that comes before the committee, will it require a fiscal note? Because many times they go on from this committee onto a tax committee and so forth. I know right now I see there's a list of approximately 19 bills. Some of them might be agency bills, some might not be agency bills. But will they require a fiscal note for this committee?
Ms. Conley.
Madam Chair and members, my estimation is that if it has a fiscal impact, it would need a fiscal note.
Ms. Robert.
Madam Chair, I would agree, and I would let the members know that I do look at all of the bill referrals, and I work with Ms. Conley if I identify a fiscal impact, I'll request a fiscal note ahead of time. Several of the bills that have been referred to committee are tax bills related to veterans issues. If the fiscal impact is a revenue impact, then the legislature uses a revenue estimate rather than a fiscal note, and those are requested when the bill is referred to the tax committee.
Okay. Thank you.
I think another question that you have was...
yes, Madam Chair, I being the lead, the Republican lead, the question was, you know, when will we be starting working on the bills?
I think in February, and I think the veterans' bills will be heard, and I would like to ask you to confer with the Republicans on the committee to figure out a couple different evenings that they have the most free, that we could do this like from 5 o'clock on or from 7 o'clock on, so we could hear more bills together, the veterans' bills.
Okay, Madam Chair, I think probably most of the veterans' bills could be heard in, you know, in one committee. I know. I think not only from our side, but also from the Democrat side too. We could probably take care of them in one committee meeting, and then also the Veterans Affairs, Military Affairs could be here. Any other testifiers could be here to speak towards those bills too.
And that's what I was thinking also, mm-hmm. But I don't know if a Tuesday night or Monday night or Wednesday night is better.
Okay. Madam Chair, would we have to go into the evening? That was another question.
No. We wouldn't have to.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Okay. If you're asking my opinion, I would say let's try to get them through in the regular time frame of our committee if we could. That would be my recommend.
But then if we can, because there's discussion, or because the person that filed the request said they wanted 15 minutes, but it takes 25 minutes, then we have no time on the other side, because we have to be out of here at a definite time for the next committee to come in here. And right. Whereas an evening meeting could run as much as 4 hours.
Madam Chair, my experience with serving on the Veterans Committee, we're pretty quick with getting our points across and answering any questions. That's just my opinion that we can get these bills through pretty quickly. And sometimes we don't even have any testifiers, and sometimes we might have one or two testifiers. So, and you're looking at maybe at the most 10 minutes per bill, that I would say. Just a thought, Madam Chair.
Representative,
I would concur with Representative Detmer, and I think on some of the bills we're going to have some of our more senior people from the VFW, the Legion, those organizations, Order of the Purple Heart, who like to be in the room, whether they testify or not. And if we can get it done during the day, I would prefer to do that, so we don't have to have them here testifying in the evening. If it's possible.
I will take your remarks under advisement. Okay. Any other questions at this point? Okay. Then, my question, one other issue that you should know, that out of order may come a bill on the health insurance, and we have, there's certain portions, and that may be assigned to here. Representative Nelson's committee, Government Operations, is taking it on Tuesday, and it has seven stops after that. So there may be a stop here. And that would, because of where it's going, it would have to jump ahead of other things that we're doing. But Representative Detmer, please also, when there's, it's been my experience chairing committees, that when there is time periods taken for discussion and involvement of committee members as well as agencies and the public, it takes a longer period of time, and so we are going to have additional meetings. This committee last year had 3 days a week, plus another day for Veterans Division. Somehow, we've been assigned 2 days a week for all of, and we have more accounts than the previous government finance committee had. And so we are going to have some not unnecessary meetings, but some additional meetings, and they're going to have we were going to have to meet at night. And so if you could give me the preferences of your members, and I will be asking everyone, and then we'll talk about what time and when on an evening, if we have to have evening meetings.
Yeah, Madam Chair, and as Representative Newton pointed out, you know, we'll take a look at the different bills that might not include the senior members of the veterans population, and maybe if we needed to put those bills, if we had to, as you mentioned, Madam Chair, if we have to go in the evening, then maybe look at some of those bills.
And a suggested order of the bills also, Representative Denver. And then another feature is, should there be one bill, or should there be an omnibus veterans bill separate from government finance?
Madam Chair,
something for you guys, yeah,
that
for everyone to
just to respond. That would be my preference, is to keep the veterans bills separate from any of the other bills, and have one veterans omnibus bill. That would be my preference.
We'll discuss that among the members in your little meetings. And members, I would like to know, and what other outcomes are you thinking that we should be considering? Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just one thought that I would like to look at is what's been done historically as far as the budgeting for all of the agencies. And I'm starting to learn some of the agencies, but being new to the committee, it would be helpful for me to see how we've broken down the budget in past years, so we can kind of get an idea of what's been done before rather than potentially reinventing the wheel.
Right. Mr. Shepherd and Ms. Roberts?
Madam Chair, members, it's possible, but I can put some historical information together. I don't know if it would be better to do it on an agency-by-agency basis. We do have some data issues going on right now with the changeover of both the accounting and the budget system, but I'll be able to pull something together, at least at the higher levels.
Thank you.
Is there anyone from an agency or an account that wants to express what their outcomes are, have questions at this point. One of the reasons that I'm approaching this is a little bit different is that when I had the experience of being appointed to a committee that met most every day. It was finance committee. Huge percentage of the total budget. And every day we'd come and every day we'd listen and there would be times for questions. People would give testimony and tell of their needs and tell of their what they had to have. But there was never any real discussion. And as a member of the committee, I felt, when are we going to talk? And we never ever had the opportunity to talk. We never ever had the opportunity to, unless we knew exactly the formal way of asking the question, we never had an opportunity to get an answer to something we were just kind of puzzled about. And I thought that it would just be a better idea to have a ownership of the final product if we have more opportunity for people to feel comfortable enough to ask in a less formal way. So if you didn't ask the question, if the member didn't ask the question right, they would still get an answer that could lead to a conclusion on the final product. It's been my experience as a chair of committees in the past where there were maybe six or seven agencies that had to work together for the same money in the final target. That more understanding about what each agency was doing brought better understandings for dividing up what the target should be and the motivation of one agency needs and another agency's requests were all part of the total. And so it's my expectation to try to work toward that goal. May not work, and it may. But I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up without at least trying. So I'm asking today, what are expectations? What do we want to know from the agencies about their needs for what's the total in the budget that they're requesting? Representative.
Madam Chair, I think you know, most of the agencies know exactly, you know, what their budget is. I'm sure they're going to be coming forward with those recommendations. They also probably also have read the governor's budget, and then we'll probably have to take a look at what our target is from the leadership. What our
and
target
you know
is.
That comes
right.
A long time away.
Yeah. So that's that would be an interesting mix of discussions, and that's what this committee is all about, is discussing the different pieces of legislation that comes before the board, and then some will make it through and some won't. And that's part of the legislative process. So.
Representative Newton.
I'd like to go back to what Representative Simon had mentioned before, Madam Chair. Whether, you know, because we're in an unusual situation with the Democrats controlling both houses and the governorship, so do we assume that the target is going to be what the governor has started off with, you know, rather than having the majority party come up with the target in each house towards the end? But is this the beginning target, and then, you know, we stay within this? I don't know. You're probably the only one that's been here through the control of one party.
It hasn't been my experience that the targets have always followed the governor's recommendations. Am I correct, Ms. Roberts? Sometimes priorities are established by House and Senate meeting together. Sometimes priorities are set by Education and Human Services. Sometimes priorities are set by political means. I don't have a lot of experience with State Department and veterans. I've only served 2 years ever, those two. But it seems to me that in some years, other higher priorities have been covered with money that should have been State Department, state government agencies. And that's one of the reasons that I want us to know so much about our accounts and agencies that we can make the fight that no, they've had reductions for the last 10 years and we can't take any more. Because our agencies are the backbone or the spine of Minnesota's government and expectation of the citizen. If our accounts aren't the ones that have basic funding requests answered, where will Minnesota be a generation from now? And we need as much information as possible to rise up and say, we want to go forward with the best service to the citizens of this state, to our customers.
Madam Chair, if I could follow up on that, when the agencies come before us, if they could let us know, given the projections for what the governor is proposing for the various agencies, whether his projections meet their needs or whether they're more than they need. I don't think anyone would tell us that. But if they're woefully short, but I think that would help us also if they feel that whatever the governor's proposing is adequate.
Thank you.
You also have to remember the political reality is that they can't say that they don't like the governor's rep. We have to hear them well enough. We have to listen carefully enough that they're not going to come and say, oh, she was trying something new, and so we said we didn't like the governor and she's going to fight for us underhanded. I that's not reality. But you've got the idea. I want to know what they absolutely have to have, that even if it wasn't recognized, but it is absolutely essential. But Representative Nelson is ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And along that same vein, I guess it's something I've always asked. I mean, government services that we're talking about here are things that our citizens have demanded. And when we're talking about agency needs, we also need to know what's going to fall by the wayside if they don't get the funding they need. Because at some point, we can't just keep slicing a little bit off and slicing a little bit off like we've been doing for the last so many years, that we at some point we're going to have to look at eliminating things that we do, even though our citizens want them done. So, I mean, that we should have them answer that question, that if they don't get their full needs, what are they not going to be able to do any longer if we go down this path?
Absolutely. Representative Kreshaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up to Representative Simons and your comments, I'm trying to, as a new person in this committee and new to the process, I'm trying to understand the environment you're setting up for us and how I best can play my role. And what I'm hearing, just for clarification, is that with the environment we have with the governor and the DFL leadership, there is a set of recommendations on the accounts, but those may or may not be followed and they could be tweaked. And what you're asking us to do is to listen to all the possibilities. So in that, as I look at this, that tweaking could be an expansion of funds, could be a contraction, it could be the same. But what I'm hearing is those recommendations that are down are not necessarily ones that you have for us to follow, that we'll be opening those possibilities to expanding accounts and so forth. Is that what I'm hearing?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Although this is the first Finance Committee I've sat on in the legislature for many years at local government, I've had the opportunity to do a lot of fiscal work and budgeting. Some of the things that we would do is we would direct our department heads to go out and we call it their wish list, so the kinds of things you're talking about. What are the core functions that you do? Bringing new council members, new staff up to speed on what's going on, and to just really kind of vet that all out. And then the council would come back and say, well, these are kind of the targets that we want to be working within, and then we kind of hone and put in our priorities on that. Maybe that's something that we can do. My quick count around the committee was 17 members, at least 6 or 7 of them are new or have never had, by their own admission, Finance Committee experience on here, and that may be a good parallel learning experience for people to learn the agencies and the stakeholders as well as what their wish lists are. And then as those other targets become clearer, we can begin to do some prioritization. Just simply a suggestion from some past experience.
Very much appreciated. Representative Simon.
Well, Madam Chair, I assume that at some point, you know, we'll have a budget resolution. And then we'll have targets, and
our target, I suppose, may or may not be exactly to the penny of what all the governor's recommendations are. But it seems to me there are at least three categories in our accounts, and I know they're a little bit different than they were last term. Some of these accounts. One category is just simply government agencies that are within the executive branch. And as you said in your conversation or dialogue with Representative Newton, they're not going to be in a position to say that they oppose the governor's recommendations. They'll come up like good soldiers, and they will say, this is exactly what we want. We're free to do more for them, but they're not gonna be in a position to be able to make a request for more. More than was recommended by the governor. So there's that category. Then there's government agencies that are not in the executive branch, like the constitutional offices, and they're free to, sky's the limit. Same for some of the nonprofits, like the Science Museum, Public Broadcasting, and others. So, I mean, it's going to be, it's always interesting to see that interplay. But I wanted to talk about your list of 11 questions that you sent, which I thought was great, to the other folks. The other thing that I think would be worthwhile, and it's too bad Representative Kahn isn't here because she's talked about this in the past, is just to be able to ask folks, well, what is your definition of success? And sometimes it's intangible. I don't know if public radio would say, well, ratings, or they might say it's something else, or what do some of the various councils say is their definition of success, but something that we can put our arms around, some demonstration. It, to the extent it is an objective, tangible thing, and maybe it isn't, but I think that's an important thing, too, to ask.
Very good. Does anyone want to come down and add something? Representative Howe.
Yes, Madam Chair. Is it my understanding, then, as we go forward here, we're going to have a number of meetings with scheduled presentations, or they're going to come down and present their 11 questions, or the 11 questions are going to be distributed to all of us so we have them, or how is if they're going to be distributed to us, then are we going to have an opportunity to have a scheduled meetings so we know when they're going to be here so we can ask them about their 11 questions, or you know, what's the way ahead on this process that you have laid out for us to actually get those questions answered and have the agencies present to us?
It will be compiled, and it will be announced, and we will be asking them to participate, to answer any questions and make comparisons. And
So there'll be a schedule, so they'll know in the next, let's say, four meetings or six meetings that they'll all be presenting and coming in front of us so we can follow up with those questions and what they deem to be important to them.
I don't know what the answers are yet, so I can't be precise in saying yes, how we're going to do it. But this exercise, the request for information, will be in our hands and compiled for public. And we will be referring to it as we build. Anyone? Anyone want to say, this is too scary? We can't keep coming back if you're going to do this. Thank you. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, I'm Gary Goldsmith. I'm the Executive Director of the Campaign Finance Board. And I did want to mention one thing that I heard that was sort of scary, and that was the concept of beginning with the governor's recommendations as a starting point. Although our budget is carried in the governor's budget because we are, in fact, an executive branch agency, We're not a cabinet agency, and we exercise fierce independence from the governor. And in fact, we do not agree with the governor's recommendations in one big aspect. The governor recommends $1 million for our budget, which is in fact what we recommend as well. But the governor recommends that $350,000 of that be raised by imposing a system of fees on lobbyists, campaign committees, political committees, party units, and funds. And we disagree with that approach. So I want to make sure that when you see the $650,000 recommendation out of the general fund in the governor's budget, that would not be our recommendation, and we will be vigorously arguing for our own approach.
And Mr. Goldsmith, did you make, did you confer with the governor before he made his proposals or with his office?
Yes, Madam Chair, members, the way the budget process works is that there are deadlines by which agencies have to get into the new budget system any kind of changes that they might propose, and if they don't get them in by the deadline, they can't even be considered at all. Our board was actively researching, discussing, and exploring the concept of registration fees as a means of funding. To be sure and preserve that option for the board, we put in two change items. One would increase our general fund support to $1 million. The other would provide $350,000 in registration fees. Once the board concluded its research and study of that matter, and well before the budget was put together by the governor's office, in fact, before Christmas, they were still talking about it, we met with the governor's staff on our that is responsible for our agency as well as our representative in Minnesota Management and Budget. So they were aware of the board's approach, which was one of the two change items we'd submitted. I mean, it's up to the governor which approach to take, and the governor took one that our board disagrees with. So I would not like that as a starting point, at least for my agency.
Thank you. Representative Crenshaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just can you explain further, just so I understand, because I'm not trying to take any position, but why your board disagrees with what reasons for disagreeing with the fees and so forth that the governor has in place?
The board studied registration fees in both lobbying and campaign finance programs. Fees in the lobbying program are quite common in the states. About 42 states use those fees, and certainly I think they're an accepted way of raising revenue for an agency like ours. On the other hand, fees in the campaign finance programs are quite rare in the states and are not well established. I think our board's approach is that while fees are common in every state, including Minnesota, it's mostly in the field of commerce, licensing for trades, licensing for construction, buildings, and so on. In other words, things where the person paying the fee or the registration is going to then have an ability to make money. The board isn't involved in commerce. It's involved in speech and in free speech under the First Amendment. We're very reluctant to say to a candidate that you have to pay a registration fee before you can advocate for your election. And we're equally reluctant to say to a lobbyist, you have to pay a fee before you can go and talk to a legislator to advocate your client's position. And we think that areas like these, which are really core speech protected by the First Amendment, shouldn't have a cost other than the burden of registration and disclosure that's already in place.
Representative Crenshaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up, I appreciate that. That's what I was driving at was if what you were trying to do was prevent additional barriers for people to get into representation. So thank you for acknowledging that.
And how is your board selected?
The board is consists of six people appointed by the governor or governors because their time on the board spans 4 years. So I think right now we have four members appointed by Governor Dayton and two appointed by Governor Pawlenty, and they serve staggering terms. And they no more than three members can be from one party, and we have two former legislators, one from each of the two major parties.
And those two former legislators are?
Representative Deanna Weiner from the Democratic Party and Representative Neil Peterson from the Republican Party.
Thank you. You brought out a good point, too. Our agencies are not all the same. Our accounts are not all the same. We have boards. We have small little councils. We have big agencies and sort of couple semi-agencies. We have a great variety of accounts. So we have different, and sometimes contrasting experiences. And we're going to keep on and get a good product.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nelson.
I'd like to move the minutes of the previous meeting of January 16th. Approval of those minutes.
Any questions or objections? All those in favor of adoption, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are adopted as written. The next meeting will be Monday at 12:30. We will continue. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.